So I think at the time, as I mentioned, I was feeling quite low, and I would find myself in the evening crying every night, feeling completely stuck. And I think this feeling of feeling stuck in a job is something that many, many, many experience at least once, right, in a lifetime. It's very common, and it's very hard to get out of that mindset, especially if all you've known has been in a specific area and you've never really repivoted. For me specifically, I think moving around and really not being settled with things, also moving, you know, countries and being open to that type of challenge, I think definitely helped. Almost like taking a leap of faith and being like, listen, it can't really get any worse than this. And I think it's just a question of like, if you put yourself in an uncomfortable position that has the opportunity to make things better, then it's going to be better than just being in an uncomfortable position that is not going to change anything, right?
Hello, and welcome to the Women of the Future podcast, a podcast made in collaboration with the Women of the Future program, a platform built to unlock a culture of kindness and collaboration among leaders, as well as support and celebrate the successes of women. I'm Kim Rowell, and I won the media category at their awards in 2018 in recognition of my continued work as a commissioner, producer, and children's author, particularly within the mental health remit. I'll be talking to my guests on this podcast about their careers, who or what gave them their first big break, their successes, failures, and inspirations along the way, and how they came to be a part of the Women of the Future network. Carlotta Zorzi has an enormous amount of strings to her bow. An award-winning bilingual English and Italian non-executive director and consultant, she has vast experience working with tech startups and large blue-chip companies. With over a decade of experience within the media, advertising and tech space, Carlotta is a huge advocate for building connections and paying it forwards. A tech career coach, leadership thought leader and storyteller, she's made it her mission to build relationships that can stand the test of time. Combining her international background and global connections with her experience in B2B, B2C and D2C media and technology, Carlotta helps individuals and high-growth businesses develop in the tech industry through expansion strategy consultations, one-to-one professional coaching sessions, and inspiring speaking engagements. Winner of the Mentor of the Year category at the Women of the Future Awards in 2022, she really is a force of nature.
I grew up in Italy, in a relatively small town at the bottom of the Italian Little Alps, which is called Schio. It's in the province of Vicenza, and it's the typical, you know, Italian small town where everybody knows each other. And I went to school there and, yeah, really grew up over there.
And I know that you describe it as coming from humble origins, and it'd be great to hear how that influenced your approach. I suppose as a child, you don't really have that wherewithal to be that thoughtful when it comes to how that might influence any decisions you make. But reflecting on it now, do you think it did in any way?
I think it definitely did. I think, you know, when you go to school, for example, you see your friends maybe having like the latest shoes and, you know, the better clothes and things like that. And to be honest, like it never really bothered me, but I definitely noticed it. Not that it was ever a problem to me growing up, but I definitely saw that side of differences, let's call them. And there were always challenges from a perspective of like my parents talking about money, and then, you know, I know money was a big part in their whole divorce side of things, so money problems were always like a thing. And I think growing up, it got instilled in me that when I would have the opportunity to kind of build my life, I didn't want that to be a problem. I think that crafted me into the choices and decisions I made and the things I got myself involved with to help others as well as soon as I could.
And what were you like as a student? Were you particularly dedicated and diligent, or did you like to get involved with everything, a bit of a jack of all trades? What was that scholastic experience like for you?
Do you know what? That's such an interesting, I was definitely dedicated, but it's an interesting question because I was also doing 200,000 things at the same time as I do nowadays. So I would go to normal school, like high school, which was focused on languages and linguistics. I studied, well, in Italy, we study Italian, like the grammar itself, you know, the phonology, morphology, lexic, everything, right? And then I studied Latin, English, French, and German. And by the end of these 5 years, you would technically be relatively fluent in these languages. I mean, Latin didn't really.
You don't need it. It's fine.
Exactly. but the other three, definitely, were something I brought with me. But in addition to that, as I was growing up, I was always very methodical, dedicated. Like, I really wanted to achieve as much as I could in school. And also in middle school, I went to a music middle school, let's say, where I studied flute. And then I carried that over during high school, where I, alongside normal high school, I went to the Conservatory of Music. And that was really challenging because when you go to study music at those levels, you have to study like 3 hours a day just for music. And then you have your actual homework. So I was literally like studying all the time. And I was also training in volleyball, like 3 times a week and playing at the weekend. I honestly, if you ask me now, I have no idea I used to do all of this.
How are there enough hours in the day to do all of that? Have you always been like that? Have you always been really pragmatic and really motivated and really like, I want to do this, let's do this. Yeah. Is it whatever gives you energy? Is it that?
Do you know what? I think I've always been very like inherently motivated to do things and very curious to do things. I've always loved people, being with people, challenge myself. I'm quite competitive with myself and I like to achieve things and almost like, oh, wow, I managed to do this. Let's see what else I can do, right?
Yeah.
It's almost like curiosity to see how much you can push yourself. But yeah, I think it definitely taught me how to manage my schedule in a way that is extremely optimized and making sure that you develop a way to concentrate on the thing you're doing there and then, so then you can move on to the next thing seamlessly. And that's something I still apply nowadays, but it's obviously more challenging when you have a full-time job and responsibility that, you know, it's hard to kind of switch off between one and the other.
And do you manage to balance it out? I'm listening to you talk and it's making me feel tired. do you get burnt out? How do you mitigate and manage that side of things?
Yeah, it can happen. I think I've become more aware of when I'm reaching my limits and I've become better at setting boundaries for myself. I think until a couple of years ago, I was always like, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can help everybody, of course. And then I really noticed that in the last 18 months, I've really had to make some difficult decisions sometimes to kind of look after myself a bit better. And I've spoken about this before, but if you have a partner, having a partner that is supportive is absolutely essential, especially it is for me because I do 200,000 things and my husband is great in the house, is great, you know, with taking on more of those responsibilities that traditionally would have, you know, start with women. And I think I wouldn't be able to do everything I do if it wasn't also for his support.
I agree. I had the same with my husband. And I think it's also, he holds me accountable as well. He's like, look, you're clearly tired. Stop now. Please stop. Because he's obviously looking after my well-being as well as what I'm capable of doing on a domestic level, on a work level, and all kind of facets of your own life. I agree with you. I think that's just so important. But I wanted to bring this round to how you got interested in the tech side of things. And I was really interested to see that part of your BA was actually completed in San Jose University in Silicon Valley. Was that when it was ignited, or did you already have that germ of, this is interesting, I can see a future for me here?
It definitely was ignited then. Again, to take a step back, I managed to move to Scotland to start my degree, right? Because I could study there for free as a European student. And everything I did in relation to education was very much within the means I had at the time. So studying at Edinburgh Napier completely opened everything, like all the opportunities I had. I owe them so much for that reason. So as part of that experience of my BA, I moved to Silicon Valley because Edinburgh Napier had a partnership with San Jose State. And at the time, it was just like an incredible dream. As a 20-year-old, you know, from a small town in Italy, moving first of all to Scotland, then all of a sudden, you have this opportunity to move to Silicon Valley at its peak, right? Everybody was like talking about like entrepreneurship, technology, and being catapulted in this environment as a 20-year-old. It was genuinely incredible, completely mind-boggling. Being in that environment, surrounded by people who were really working beyond like crazy hours, right? Like every single week. I just realized, wow, this world is so different compared to what I was used to. But there's also so much curiosity and people wanting to solve problems that I didn't even know existed before. And that kind of sparked something in me, that element of wanting to get involved with something bigger than you and wanting to have an impact in the world, regardless of what the solution was. After that, moving to Sweden again, I could study for free as a European student in Sweden. I got my master's there, and it was basically a master's in business economics with focus in international marketing and brand management. And then with that, I moved to London. And when I moved to London, I started actually working in media agencies to begin with, right? Your first job, you know, I think it's very difficult to be like, oh, my first job was my dream job. You know, it's almost like, let's just get started. Let's see what I can do with what I have. And then you can start pivot a little bit. And I think that's usually something that people don't really realize earlier on in their
Yeah,
careers, that you
absolutely.
can change, right? You can repeat it. So I did that for a few years, working with large global accounts. And eventually I realized that it wasn't really fulfilling. I wasn't really feeling part of something. And the sense of belonging has always been part of me. I've always been part of communities growing up, and I've always sought communities around me. And I wasn't really feeling that when I was working in agency. And the catalyst was when my manager at the time was like, I'm out of here. I'm going to go work for a tech company. And that's the change I'm going to do. And they're going to pay a lot better than what we're doing. You could do it as well. And I was like, what do you mean? What do you mean? And at that point, I was at a very low point in my career, to be honest. I was feeling very insecure, very low self-worth, where I was working with a tough client. And he was like, yeah, speak with this person. They're recruiting, at that company. Have a chat with them. You would literally double your salary if you worked there as a consultant. And I was like, they're never gonna take me. Come on. You know, that moment of like, of course they're not gonna take me. But anyway, he put me in touch with his ex-colleague of his who was working at Oracle at the time. And we had a conversation, and she was like, no, you'd be brilliant at it. You have like the perfect background. You understand media. This is an ad tech product. And all you have to do is working with clients, doing X, Y, and Z. And I was like, this sounds way too good to be true. Like, what? So that made me read more about the tech world, understand things a bit better. And actually, they had an opening going, well, at the time. And I went for it. And 5 months of interviews later, one of them being in French, which I hadn't used in years,
Blimey.
I got an offer to move to Oracle, working in the ad tech space. So working towards selling SaaS technology. And that was absolutely life-changing in so many ways. It was absolutely life-changing from a perspective of flexibility. At the time, I was commuting from Brighton to London every single day. And, you know, with Oracle, they were more lenient in terms of being in the office every day. Also, in terms of finances, my salary effectively did double overnight. And to me, that was incredibly eye-opening because for the first time, I could actually save some money and plan for the future. Up to that point, it was not in the cards at all. It was just almost like, you know, you're saving very, very, very little money, and the prospect of saving a house was not at all in the cards. And that's why, you know, that really shook me. And I was like, more people should know about this. And we should make this more approachable, and we should raise awareness for people who want to make a change in their lives. Technology really has the power to
Do you
be a
think there's a fear there? Like, I'm listening to you talk. I suppose I have a few questions, really. So obviously you pivoted quite substantially, and it potentially took someone to say, like, oh, have you thought about that? For the idea to even cross your mind. And then I know that myself, if I'm presented with something like that, I'm then like, I think of all the reasons why that can't happen and all the reasons why that's a bad idea. But then listening to you talk through like your career journey to that point, and I know this is a big thing for you, you'd obviously created a lot of connections and you had experienced lots of different cultures from all different countries around the world. Do you think having that in your arsenal when it came to making that leap of faith, did that enable you in any sense, or was it still just, oh my God, what am I doing? This is so scary and intimidating. But then you've now said that it was the best thing to have happened. So how did you, I suppose, your mindset, it'd be great if you could maybe just talk to me more about your mindset and approaching that.
So I think at the time, as I mentioned, I was feeling quite low and I would find myself in the evening crying every night, feeling completely stuck. And I think this feeling of feeling stuck in a job is something that many, many, many experience at least once, right, in a lifetime. It's very common and it's very hard to get out of that mindset, especially if all you've known has been in a specific area and you've never really repivoted. For me specifically, I think moving around and really not being settled with things, also moving, you know, countries and being open to that type of challenge, I think definitely helped. Almost like taking a leap of faith and being like, listen, it can't really get any worse than this. And I think it's just a question of like, if you put yourself in an uncomfortable position that has the opportunity to make things better, then it's going to be better than just being in an uncomfortable position that is not going to change anything, right? There's that saying of if you want to change things, you have to change things, right? I think that was the mindset at the time. Almost like you just have to do it and roll with it and find that strength and that self-worth and confidence that will allow you to try new things and find new ways to shine, essentially. And that's exactly what happened then when I moved to the tech side of things. They really brought out the best in me. And by doing so, I was really able to then start helping way more people who came from a similar background to me. And yeah, they really empower me to empower others, essentially.
Yeah. You do a lot of mentoring and coaching in the work that you do now, but we've talked about the big moment for you. Was there a big person that helped mold your interests or reaffirm that what you were doing was the right thing, or even just gave you guidance as to keep going, you've got this? Have you had that person in your life?
I think I've had many people in my life. I don't think I would be able to pinpoint one person specifically. I mean, I definitely had my very first manager, who was Joyce Dodds, when I was at Zenit, still my very first agency. And she really showed me the meaning of kindness, really, and tough love, in a sense that I really saw that she cared about my growth, my well-being. She saw the potential, she saw everything in me. And that really motivated me to keep going. And she kept being like an amazing cheerleader throughout the years. And then as I kept changing roles and then I changed organizations a couple of times, I met so many individuals that really took their time to guide me to become my formal and informal mentors. I met some amazing men who really opened amazing doors for me, whether it was through getting started in my thought leadership path or being exposed to things like being on a board, for example, and channeling me into directions that I was kind of aspiring to. So yeah, there's many people who really contributed to the growth.
And it's so important, isn't it? Because one of my mantras is you can't be what you can't see. So unless you give people someone they can relate to, and this goes across all genres, like all fields of work, from like sport to tech, science, media, marketing, everything. If you can't see someone who's doing that, I mean, clearly there are the exceptions to the rule of people that just forge their own way forwards and they do their own thing anyway, but the value in that is extraordinary.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And your own list of accolades, I'm just looking through, and also quite recently too, over the past few years, you really have won some incredible awards and been acknowledged within your field of expertise. You've had Women in Tech of the Year, Emerging Leader Award. The reason I'm talking to you today is you were awarded the Mentor of the Year Award at the Women of the Future Awards. But does this Does this mean much to you? It sounds a silly thing to ask. Is there a moment or anything in particular that stands out or that you're particularly proud of? What's your proudest achievement?
This is, I think it's so hard to just pinpoint one achievement. All of these are like amazing and kind recognitions, and I really cherish them. And in a way, I just hope that they're going to inspire other women to just keep going and aspire to more and achieve more, right? But ultimately, like to me, in terms of biggest achievements, I think it's a combination of different moments, but ultimately being able to do something that allows me to learn whilst helping others. So at the moment, finding myself in a career that is very fulfilling, where I am learning on a daily basis and challenging myself on a daily basis, and then having the opportunity to work with individuals who want to learn from you, and you can help them actually channel them in the right direction, that is incredibly fulfilling. And I think to me it's almost like a combination of success. You know, when you're happy with what you're doing, happy with your own self, and at the same time helping others in their journey.
And you're then most capable to be altruistic and pay it forwards and to be more giving. And I hugely admire
Exactly.
that quality in anybody, and you are just the epitome of that. So.
No, thank you. I think you have to be in a good position yourself in order to help others. I mean, as much as possible. Obviously, I admire people so much who manage to help others when the situation is not very good. And I wish I was better at that, because I find myself, if I'm in a bad mood, not mood, but in a low moment, it's so hard to like
Of
even
course.
do anything else, right? But that's why I think it's a circle. If you start helping others, then others will help
And
others.
there's that saying, isn't there? Like, you don't know what anyone else is going through. So just be kind. Just think they could be having the worst moment, the best moment, an indifferent moment. Just approach it with kindness. Talking of kindness, how did you first hear about the Women of the Future program and how are you involved with them?
So I heard about it 3 years ago or so. I think I saw someone winning it on LinkedIn, and I started reading about the program, and it's incredible all the things that they do at a community level with schools, for example, with girls. And that's how I started getting involved, winning the award last year. So participating in events that bring together different schools, different communities to help guide and inspire students of all ages to channel themselves in an area that interests them, but also reassure them that there's always time to change path if things don't go in the way they plan in the first time, essentially.
I have some quick fire questions for you just to finish. So if you're ready, what would you describe as your greatest success?
Oh my goodness, this again, I think it's a combination of different touch points, but again, the combination of being able to learn and help different people and businesses at the same time.
And your greatest failure?
Allowing others to dictate my mood.
Oh, good one. The mantra of Women of the Future is kindness and collaboration. What does that mean to you in both your personal and professional life?
I think that means helping others without expecting anything back necessarily. So if you can help and if you can teach, there's this quote that I quote all the time: if you learn, teach; if you get, give, by Maya Angelou. And that to me is the definition of kindness, right? Just if you can do something nice for others without expecting anything back, just do it.
I also saw on your website a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. that I'd never come across before, which was particularly poignant. It was, "Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be until you are what you ought to be. This is the interrelated structure of reality." And that really struck a nerve with me, but that resonates with you, clearly.
Yeah, it resonates a lot. It's simply because we're all interconnected. And if we put ourselves in competition with each other, or, you know, avoid helping each other for whatever reason, we are also preventing ourselves from growing. So there's this nature of like being interconnected and related. I think it's something that sometimes we forget. And it's important to just like realize that one person's success doesn't take away the success from someone else. So we only really grow, in my opinion, when we help others grow. And that is how I interpret that sentence.
It's a great way to look at it. Is there anything that scares you?
I'd love to say no, but I'm there's probably many things that scare me. I think what scares me maybe is like potentially the lows that happen in life, because you never anticipate how low the lows are going to be. And you never know what they're going to affect, who they're going to affect, you know, people you care about, or knowing that they're gonna happen because it's life, and it almost like helps a little bit being prepared for them. But obviously, I think, yeah, those lows can be difficult and can bring a bit of fear simply because there's a lot of unknown. But the only thing that you know is that it's going to be very hard.
Yeah. And in those moments, how do you cope? Do you go to your support systems, networks, that kind of thing?
Yeah, support system network, but I also take time to myself. It depends a bit, you know, what the low is about, but I think taking time for yourself to really like recenter is very, very important to put things into perspective. And yeah, but definitely the support network is essential, right?
And it harks back to what we were talking about earlier, you know, rest and recuperation, setting your boundaries, knowing when it's too much, and that you, this sentence I always think is a bit whimsical, but you can't pour from an empty cup, right? If you have nothing in there to give, then like you maybe need to take some time to fill it all back up again.
100%. 100%.
What is left on your to-do list?
Oh my goodness, so many things, Kim.
I had a feeling that might be the answer.
Oh, there's so many things. I think it's a combination of personal things I would love to do in terms of traveling the world and seeing the most remote part of this globe, to helping more people at scale. That's something I would love to do. I don't know in which capacity yet, but you know, as you mentioned, like I've been doing loads of one-to-one mentoring. I also started working with some clients in the last couple of years, which has been very rewarding and great. But I would love to eventually create something that is aimed at social mobility. So working with parents, maybe at a local level, or families who have some challenges from that perspective, in order to help both parents and potentially their children with the opportunities that can change their position, you know, from a social demographic perspective.
Yeah, socioeconomics and anything that you can do to just open up opportunities or just to increase awareness of ways of working through these kinds of situations, I think is hugely admirable.
Exactly.
Paula, so you are so inspirational. It's been lovely speaking to you. Huge, huge thanks for taking the time to speak to me.
Thank you for having me. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Woman of the Future podcast. If you enjoyed it, please hit the subscribe button. And while you're there, why not give us a rating and review? You know you want to. For more about the Women of the Future Awards, network and initiative, please visit www.womenofthefuture.co.uk. See you soon!